Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Matthew 5:41-42. And he took the damsel by the hand. And Jesus took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the daughter arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12. And they were astonished. You better hope God says to you, Talitha kumi. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Now Jesus stands still, totally stopped in his tracks when he reaches out to heal some people. Jesus stands still, totally stopped in his tracks when he reaches out to heal some people. Multitudes of people throng Jesus. They throng Jesus. But there's so few who really ever touch him. Immediately feels those who touch him. Jesus feels it right then. It stops him. If you touch him, not throng him, if you touch him, it stops him completely still in his tracks, and he can proceed no further. Listen, he can proceed no further until he addresses that need that stopped him. He can proceed no further until he addresses that need that's before him. If you walk by Jesus, or Jesus walking by, and if you're trying to reach and touch him, it'll set him on fire inside, and the fire in him will hit you, and you're touched. He'll stop dead in his tracks and spin around and look at you. Hallelujah. And he'll say, I just felt virtue go out of me. Somebody touched me, and virtue came out of me. Hallelujah. Stopped him dead in his tracks. Surely did. Jesus stands still, totally stopped in his tracks when he reaches out to heal some people. Multitudes of people throng Jesus, thronging from every side, grabbing here, thronging, but not touching. But there are so few who really ever touch him. Jesus immediately feels those who touched him. It stops him completely still in his tracks. He can proceed no further until he addresses the need. The woman with an issue of blood, Matthew, Mark, Luke, tell all about the woman with issue of blood. While Jesus was preaching, Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus in great need. Here he's teaching. He's preaching in Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he was saying this and preaching, Matthew 9:18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Hallelujah. Jairus, the ruler of synagogue, he wanted Jesus to come and lay his hands on her, on his daughter. If you'll come lay your hand upon her, she shall live. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, Luke 8:41, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house. Verse 42, and he had only one daughter, and she was 12 years of age. And she lay a dying. Jesus responded to God the Father's leading him, I do nothing except what I see the Father do, and how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. God was him. Acts 10:38, that's the way it goes. Jesus responded to God the Father's leading, ruler Jairus' faith and earnest plea. So Jesus responded to God the Father's leading, the Holy Ghost anointing, and God the Father lent him by the Holy Ghost the Spirit of the Father. And Ruler Jairus' faith and earnest plea, he saw that. Immediately, he left his teaching and went to help Ruler Jairus. And so he arose and followed, and so did his disciples. When he moved, they went with him. The 12 apostles. Stepping back from the immediate story, which is all true, remember how Judaism teaches there are four levels to scripture interpretation. And only the last one is the full interpretation. A little interpretation about this, a little interpretation about this. So there are four levels to scripture interpretation. Pasat, Remez, Darash, and Sod, which is P-R-D-S. So Pasat is one level. Remez is another level. Darash is another level. And Sod is another level. Each of these words describe a different level of understanding God's word, starting with elementary level up to a mystery level. From an elementary level to a mystery level that only God can reveal to apostles to help you to see. Each of these words have different levels of understanding, starting with the elementary level up to the mystery level. The first letter of each of these words, the first letter of each of these words formed the acronym PARDES, P-A-R-D-S. Acronyms like taking letters and letters and letters and make it one word. You see? So it formed the acronym out of Pasat, Remez, Darash, and Sod would be PARDES, would be PARDES, which is the word for paradise, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden. Think about that. Different levels lead you back to the Garden of Eden. We want to get to where we're living in the Garden of Eden down here until Jesus comes or takes us. This expresses that the higher, the deeper you go, the higher, the deeper that you go, learning about and really experiencing God, that you are step by step returning to the Garden of Eden. You're on your way with Pasat, Remez, Darash, and Sod on your way back to the Garden of Eden, step by step returning to the unbroken relationship and fellowship with God as in the beginning, step by step returning to God the Father and fatherhood. You don't get fatherhood right when you're just first born again, the fatherhood of God the Father. There's steps to take to get there, which we already know is true, that God has multiple levels of interpretation. This little level, born again experience, something beyond that, something, all the way up to the highest level. In the Word of God, give them a revelation of the Holy Ghost, a revelation of the Holy Ghost. Holy men of old speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then first committed to the apostles, who were given fullest understanding of every element of the Word of God, from the Logos, the Rhema, to the oracles, Old Testament. Logos, Rhema, oracles. Logos, Rhema, oracles. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11. The utterance, an oracle is like the very utterance of God himself. But Hebrews 5:12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, this church out there today, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You better go back and get the first principles of the oracles of God, or you become such as need of meat, of milk and not meat. You're just little babies. So this also proves that there are levels of understanding, levels of interpreting the scriptures. As you go up, the first level is not omitted, it's true. The second level is not omitted, you learn more. The third is not omitted, God adds, until we go all the way up into God the Father and hope to live in somewhat of a Garden of Eden in the earth. You see? Now, apostles are anointed in order by God to rightly divide the word of truth, to put authoritative definition to this is that in the scriptures. Authoritative definition. The Apostle Peter got to preaching. And he said in Acts 2:16, for this is that. They begin to speak with tongues, baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is that was speaking by the prophet Joel. In the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions, and upon my service, upon my handmaids will I pour out my spirit in those days. He said, this is that you're seeing that prophet Joel talked about. Amen. Taking account of all of this, let's step back and see the story on a deeper level, which does not negate any of the other meanings on the other levels. It's just an increase, an increase, an increase, you see it? The chief ruler of the synagogue is in desperate need because his young beloved daughter lies sick and dying. Somebody even comes to him on the way there and says she's already dead. He walks in and says, when I get here, she's just sleeping. That's all. I'm going to get her up. Right? The Gospel of Mark calls her, this daughter, little daughter, darling. So the Gospel of Mark calls her little daughter, darling. The Gospel of Luke calls her the only one daughter, the only begotten soul, also implying that she was dear and absolutely irreplaceable. Jairus is the one chief of the synagogue, but who is the actual chief ruler of the synagogue back in those days? Well, God the Father is the real divine ruler of the synagogue. That he works through men. That he does. You see what I'm talking about? The rulers of rulers, the chief ruler, on and on and on. So God the Father is really in charge. So Jairus is one of the chief rulers of the synagogue, who is actually the chief ruler of the synagogue. Of course, God the Father is really over it all. Jairus' young daughter is lying dying, but who is the actual young daughter who is lying dying? Who is it? Yes. Who is the actual daughter lying dying today? The one that people don't even think about. The beloved, but impure, weak, sickly church. Is the real young daughter who is dying, what they call church. It's not a complete church, you see? So this story has a deeper meaning. Actually, the beloved but immature, weak, sickly church is the real young daughter who is dying. This story has a deeper meaning from the perspective of the shamaim of the Father. It said that he was absolutely, when he saw that there was no man, he saw me, he was stupefied. He was devastated, but he's God, he can not become devastated just with one breath. But it devastated, but he's still God. You see? Very touched with it. So the word shamain, Hebrew word. The story has a deeper meaning from the perspective of the shamain of God the Father. He was shamain. He was devastated looking at it. Looking at the state of his dear beloved daughter, the church.
Yes, sir.
In a weak, sickly, dying condition.
Yes, sir.
This girl represents the sick, dying, what they call church today. Looking at the state of the dear beloved daughter church in a weakly, sickly, dying condition. She's young, not even yet 12 years old. Just about to turn 12 years old. Just a darling daughter, not a full-edged daughter. She's young, not even 12 years old. Just a darling, not a full-fledged daughter. It looks as if she is going to die without ever reaching her purpose. She will never enter maturity, full age, full calling, unless Jesus helps her. So it looks like she's going to die without ever reaching her purpose. 12 years old, lying, dying, sick. She will never enter maturity, full age, full calling. And I can tell you, the church, the real church that used to be, lies a dying. Some of them may mean well. They may be born again. But they're immature little daughterlings. She's young, she's 12 years old, just a daughterling, not full-fledged daughter. It looks as if she's going to die. She'll never come to the age of full maturity. She's going to die before she gets there. This parallels the state of an immature church, a church that never comes to maturity. This daughter lying sick, almost 12 years old, sickly, on and on and on. An immature church can never thrive and live and survive. Especially in a time, a metro, spiritual environment. Again, an immature church or an immature person can never really thrive or live or really totally survive, especially in a day and time in metro spiritual environment that is full of oppressing evil spirits and infirmities, such as the one described in Matthew 8, Mark 5, and Luke 6. Woman, the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter, on and on and on and on. Luke 8:1 came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Well, there happened to be 12 of them. And certain women, Luke 8:2, which had been healed of evil spirits, infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of which came seven devils. There she was. She's delivered of it. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna and many others delivered of the devil. Jesus is ministering in a time and walking in a metropolis back then, where many have been and are plagued by evil spirits, physical disease. It is prevalent everywhere he walked. Think about it. Everywhere he walked. It's a parallel of today. Today's a parallel of that. In this passage, the women in particular are being pointed out and having being healed and delivered, the women in particular. The women often is illustrated in parallels with the church overall. The woman's supposed to have a head, a spiritual leader. Women often use as illustration a parallel of the church overall. An immature church is always at risk of being sickly, weak, infirmed, and dying.
Yes, sir.
And will literally be at death's door, and even more so, even living in a time and a place in a metropolitan where oppression abounds as it does today. As also back in the days of Jesus, as it does today. So this drastic condition of God's daughter, the church, this drastic condition of God's daughter, the church, causes God the Father great grief. It brings him into the Hebrew word, shomaim. It devastates him, but not enough that he's not God. He's carrying it. You see what I'm saying? The drastic condition of God's daughter, the church, causes God the Father great grief. Thus he commissions himself as son Jesus, as the great apostle, to come and remedy the situation. Well, everywhere he went, he remedied that, he remedied that, he remedied that, he remedied that. You see?
Yes, sir.
You got it? Sick, immature. Remember that, immature.
Yes, sir.
Thus he commissions God the Son as a great apostle to come and remedy the situation. How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's Acts 38. It was by the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Ghost, that he anointed himself, his Son, that came and brought remedy to the people. You got it?
Yes, sir.
God the Father does this today through his apostles, true apostles.
Yes.
He always will. God the Father anoints, commissions, sends them, apostles, to come and remedy to the sick and infirm state of the immature, weak, sickly, dying church.
Yes,
so God the Father anoints, commissions, sends them to bring remedy to a dying church, even if it takes a resurrection.
Right.
Even a resurrection. If you lie a dying, Jesus can resurrect you from you lie a dying.
Yes,
right? Let's continue this story now and keep in mind that the ultimate daughter in need is not just Jairus, not just his daughter, but the church. The ultimate daughter in need is God the Father's daughterling. The love, yeah, there are individuals, his daughterling, are in need, but the real need is his church, the beloved but immature, weak, dying church, in the condition that they will never reach maturity, that they will never come to their purpose. They will never be a bar mitzvah, a male, or a bat mitzvah, a female. Bar mitzvah, male, 12, 13 years old. Remember that. They'll never reach it. Okay, you got it? So, you got to come to a place where you become a bar mitzvah, a male, or a bat mitzvah, B-A-T, female, B-E-R mitzvah, B-A-T, bat mitzvah. Along the way, someone else intercepts Jesus teaching. Here he's going to Jairus' house. Jesus responded to God the Father's leading. Jairus, God the Father responded to the Father's leading. And Jairus' faith and his earnest plea, he immediately left his teaching and he went with Jairus to help him.
Yes, sir.
His daughter lie a dying. Okay. But someone else crossed his path. Someone else crossed the path and met him in the way. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. 12. And behold, a woman, Matthew 2 and 20, was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. The hem. The issue of blood was specifically a disease. Jesus called it a disease. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they called it a disease, which was diseased with an issue of blood. See that? She was hemorrhaging with an issue of blood, which was a disease in her body. So you need to get the disease out of you so you won't hemorrhage. Is your whole life hemorrhaging? You see? Everything. She had been stricken with this issue of blood disease for 12 long years. daughterling.
Yes.
Now she's 12.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes.
12 long years. Incidentally, 12 and 13 years is the age for a son or a daughter to become a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah. 12 to 13 years of age, a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah. A son and daughter of the commandment. A bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah is a son and daughter of the commandment. One who assumes adult responsibility before God and people in learning and keeping the Torah. Becoming a real Jew back in those days and a member of the Jewish community.
Yes,
so to really become a real Jew back in those days, you had to become a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, very responsible, a son and daughter of the commandment. You see?
Yes, sir.
Now, can't hardly find those today, can you?
Amen.
Someone with great responsibility, a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah, is not found in the Bible, those words. However, many Jewish writings point to the greatest feast that Father Abraham held when his son Isaac was weaned. He got a bar mitzvah. He was weaned. They interpret son Isaac's being weaned as him putting away any childish things and becoming an adult. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. He made a great feast. Weaned, it means that he took this out of it. He became ripened. Bound full of bountiful things. Therefore, many Jewish sources believe that son Isaac was 12 or 13 at this great day of the feast, that it was a prototype of a bar mitzvah. He's male, bar mitzvah. Female's bat mitzvah. They both can become that, you see. Of course, in the New Testament, Jesus was 12 years old when he was found in the temple, teaching the scriptures to the doctors, Luke 2:46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at this, at his understanding and answers that he gave back.
Yes.
Joseph and Mary, they were with the crowd, had their family, their bios around them, all that stuff. And they left and they got out of the ways and found out, Jesus is not here. Where is he? We better go back to Jerusalem and see if we can find him. Well, they looked and looked and looked, and then went in there and he was sitting at 12 years old, asking questions to the doctors of the law, people with authority and great knowledge of the scriptures, and answering questions back to them. And they said, where have you been? He said, look here, knowest thou not that I must be about my Father's business? About my Father's business? You hear what I'm saying? At age 12, Jesus at age 12 was publicly declaring his responsibility to be a son of the commandment. A son of the commandment. This event was a bar mitzvah for Jesus. He had his bar mitzvah. Jesus of Nazareth had his bar mitzvah at 12. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He's God and man. So there were biblical foreshadowings that show the age of 12, 13 as being regarded when one can truly become a son and daughter. And later tradition of a bar mitzvah is copied from the archetype of son Isaac's weaning. So the woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, hints at a hindrance of some sort. The woman with issue of blood at 12 years hints at a hindrance of some sort that was preventing her from really becoming a bat mitzvah. A full daughter of God.
Yes, sir.
A bat mitzvah, a full daughter of God. Think about that. So the woman having issue blood for 12 years, hence at the hindrance of some sort that was preventing her from really becoming bat mitzvah, a full daughter of God. Something in her diseased blood was holding her back from fully becoming a mature daughter unto God. The woman having an issue of blood she was prevented from really becoming a bat mitzvah, a full daughter of God. Something in her diseased blood was holding her back from becoming a mature daughter unto God. Something in her blood. And remember, the life of the flesh is in the blood of the soul. Something in your soul can be holding you back. She was also at risk of running out of time to get loose from this disease because it would kill her. The woman's situation also parallel has a connection to ruler Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, who lay dying.
Yes.
She lay a dying. who would never have a chance to become a bat mitzvah, a full daughter of God. She's dying. Short of a divine miracle of Jesus, she won't make it. Something in her diseased blood caused that. The woman grasped, talking about the woman with the issue, the woman grasped even just the hem of his garment. The woman with issue of blood came up from behind Jesus because she was impure. She can't be in society because she's diseased with the issue of blood, so she can't come around other people. She came up behind him, but she touched him. People are thronging Jesus from every side, but she touched him. It set him on fire inside. And he turned and he said, somebody touched me because dunamis, virtue just went out of me right then. Healing power went on. And look, and there she was. She came from behind and she touched. Haptomai. She touched. She attached herself to. She touched. And the word hapto, she touched and fastened to so much until it set Jesus on fire. If you ever touch him, it sets him on fire and you'll be caught on fire too. The word touch means that you'll catch Jesus on fire inside. Somebody touched me. My God. And set her on fire too. You see? I mean a touch. And she felt in her body she was healed. Are you here? So, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the fringe, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the caspadon, the fringe, the tassel, blue and white, the border of the hem of his garment, if I can just touch those tassels, are you here? I shall be made whole. She had been longing for such a long time to be whole. She had been longing for such a long time to be made whole. She knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment, it would set him on fire and virtue would come out of him. She would draw virtue out of him, dunamis, the creating power of God. She knew in the anointing of God, she knew she could just touch the hem of his garment, she shall be made whole. For she said within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She reached and she touched it. She knew if I can get his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The woman grasping for the hem of Jesus' garment was her way of seizing onto God the Father, of attaching herself to God the Father through Jesus, of never letting him go, of crying out for divine help and mercy, and desperately trying to get God's attention and bring remedy to her affliction. So when Jesus felt her touch him, the garment, virtue was pulled out of him. Virtue was pulled out of him. Virtue. Miraculous power. Force. It's the inherent miraculous power and force of God. Miracles were pulled out of him. He turned around instantly and saw her. It stops him completely still in his tracks. If you touch him, not throng him, if you touch him, he can proceed no further. Listen, he can proceed no further until he addresses that need that stopped him. You see?
Yes, sir.
Amen, somebody. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.